Welcome to Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, where we teach you how to be rich in spirit and righteous in action.
Look, if I'm looking for a specific tool to precisely target areas of my home to get my house in order, let's say.
Okay.
And, you know, the first thing I'd want to do is examine the various substructures of the foundation of the home so that I can lay a certain framework around which I can organize my priorities in a hierarchical substructure as well. So
you need like wood and pipes and nails.
Yes.
If you're not watching our YouTube, that was not Jordan Peterson. That was actually a comedian who impersonated him with perfection. Now, like it or not, and all jokes aside, Jordan Peterson has become one of the greatest thought leaders of this generation. Not because everything he says is profound, but because he isn't afraid to speak at his own intellectual level and refuses to dumb down his thoughts for general consumption. And today he teaches us why, as intellectuals, we need to speak up when faced with radical and stupid ideas about our society and the way that we see money. And practice makes perfect. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm a certified private wealth advisor and the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things podcast and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And if you are subscribed to my channel, then you know that I am also like that. My channel is for those who are willing to stretch their intellect, to open new ideas, and to refuse to be sheep regardless of their current affiliation. And today, we are blessed to witness a combination of money and intellect from two of our greatest masterminds, Dave Ramsey and Jordan Peterson. And just a fair warning, I have never, ever heard Dave Ramsey so quiet.
That I worked for at that point, you know, I thought, well, you've actually done something with your life, you know, and you're, there's a solidity there, a productive solidity.
Exactly.
And so it was at that point that I realized I didn't know anything and just stopped working on the political front altogether. I decided at that point to become a psychologist rather than a lawyer or a politician, which is kind of where I was heading at that point in my life. And I realized that it was the people who had built productively that had the moral upper hand. They might not have been very good at expressing their ethos intellectually or explicitly, but in terms of their character, they had established a victory. And I think this is actually the problem on the conservative front broadly across the world, is that they're people of solid character, but they're not good at articulating the foundations of their ethos. And then when the radical leftists come along and take them apart ethically, they don't know what to do. They throw up their hands. Because, I mean, think about it this way. Someone comes up to you on the street and says, justify marriage. And you think, well, I thought we sorted that out like 25,000 years ago.
Can you justify marriage? Of course you can. But when was the last time that you put it into words? Probably never. Why? Because we were taught that what is understood doesn't need to be explained. But the problem we face in society is that even though statistically and even ethically, we know that unity of marriage has many benefits, including but not restricted to financial stability. So much so, we are given tax credits and insurance premium discounts when we are married compared to when we are single. Unfortunately, the extremists have spent their spare time coming up with critiques of putting together weak logical arguments to the contrary. And we're not intellectually prepared to have these conversations as we should. So I want to thank you for sticking with this video, because you will get stronger if you continue down this path. So let's keep going and hear what he has to say.
You don't know what to say. You have no idea how to justify marriage. You know, a lot of the things we do in our life that are ethical, we act out. We don't think through. Like, I presume the vast majority of you put up a Christmas tree. Well, you have no idea why. You know, like, and if someone, anthropologist, came over to your house and said, well, why do you put up a Christmas tree? You'd say, well, everyone does it. Something like that. And it's beautiful and it's part of a tree. But you have no idea why. I mean, there are reasons for the Christmas tree. That's a place where you put the light that shines in the darkness at the darkest time of the year. And that light signifies, in the Christian tradition, that light signifies Christ, and that signifies the service of the highest to the lowest. And you're acting that out, but you don't know it. And when you're married, you're acting out a very deep ethos as well. And you don't know what it is, but everyone's agreed on it. And a lot of your conservative virtues are things that everybody's already agreed on. And so when an intellectual comes along and says, justify that, You don't know what the hell to say. And then you can be picked apart. You know, well, isn't your ideal of marriage heterosexual, long-term, stable, child-centered couples? Isn't that exclusionary? And isn't the exclusion wrong? Well, you think, well, exclusion, yeah, well, that's wrong. And, well, I don't know. And then you're guilty. And it isn't because you're wrong. It's just that you don't know how to articulate that traditional value.
Exactly. Just because you don't know how to articulate yourself doesn't mean you're wrong. I hear many anti-Christians quote Jeremiah chapter 10 as a reason not to put up a Christmas tree, as it reads, "Do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the works of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so they will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They cannot be carried, because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they can do no evil, nor can they do any good." This verse is about idol worshiping and not a Christmas tree. Because listen, if you worship it, it can do no evil, it can do no good. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. But someone with a weak faith may think, you're right. We do cut down a tree. We do decorate with the likes of silver and gold. We do nail it down so it doesn't tip over. So are we the heathens? But they miss the hands of the workmen with an axe, which carves out images of idols for people to worship besides God. Like I said, when was the last time you had to actually defend putting up a Christmas tree? Maybe never. But there are people out there ready with this argument to help you turn away from God. And we have to stand up. We have to learn our scripture, because they're not going to read the second part. They're going to just read the part that fits their narrative.
And, well, and that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem. But that doesn't mean you're wrong. And the same thing applies on the prophet front. It's like, it's hard to articulate why that's acceptable. Also, because it does seem like if you're generating profit, it's obviously the case that that can be used by you for narrow personal reasons, right? You can buy a yacht and fill it with supermodels and cocaine if you want. And that, but people don't. And most wealthy people in the United States, by the way, are like you. They're the owners of not immense businesses, you know, small to moderate businesses, and they're very conservative in their consumerist habits and careful in their distribution of their resources. They're not like Hollywood hedonists, you know, or the Wall Street psychopath types. Not that all Wall Street people are psychopath types, but you know, the kind that are parodied in movies. You know, you're people who are very careful with your capital and you live moderately. That's also a sign of that ethos, but it's hard for conservatives to articulate that. Doesn't mean you're wrong, and it doesn't mean that you should be guilty.
So, one of the ways you combat those kinds of things, if you don't have, number one, don't have to have an argument. You just have to be right and just keep moving.
Yeah.
But the I don't have to defend. I don't have to enter into that conversation. Like, yeah, you're a nut and I'm moving on.
Yeah, you well, know, but partly we're in a situation where you probably do have to learn to articulate it, because what's happening is that central ethos, that traditional ethos, even voluntary exchange, it's under such vicious attack that if you don't learn to defend it and articulate it, it's going to be taken from you. And that probably means, I suspect that means that each of you is going to have to think to some degree about how to involve yourself in at least the local political landscape. It's like, you know what the school boards are doing, or maybe you don't and you should. I mean, these low-level political positions have been occupied by radical types, and the only real solution to that is to take them away and occupy them with people who have some sense. And
brothers and sisters, this is spot on. You don't have to be ashamed of your wealth. You don't have to be ashamed to be a Christian. You can be both. The problem is, you just haven't learned to articulate yourself because you don't have enough practice. In this video, they teach you to speak up. Dave Ramsey said, just ignore them and keep moving, because what's right is right, right? But Jordan Peterson had the best reply. No, we need to speak up, because if we don't, we are going to continue to be at the mercy of these radicals, especially on the lower levels of these political positions, including our schools. We think it's a top-down issue, but it's really a bottom-up issue, and it starts with you. If you made it this far, you're part of the small percentage of people who know how to think and ready to learn ways to strengthen this country. We need you. But we need you also to understand that God is going to judge us on our intent. So you have to make the decision on what you are going to do with your money and if you're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And I hope that you choose the former. If you are a believer and learned something from this video, make sure you give it a like, write your comment below, and share this video with YouTube so they know to show this video to more people like you. And maybe you're scrolling through YouTube and you still want something else to watch, check out our channel because I have a video if you're sick and tired of this new tipping culture where they want you to tip for picking up your own food. Well, that is it for me. I am AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.